Welcome to Discover Indie Film. I'm your host, Jeff Howard, and I'm very happy to have the Vantine brothers with me. I've got Rich Vantine and Matt Vantine. Hey, you two.
Hey, how's it going? How's it going?
It's going great because I just had my longest conversation with you ever after knowing
That's
you for
true.
About 5 years. Because yeah. at the festival, we never, you know, we do Q&As.
Yeah.
But we don't like sit and talk for a while, right?
Sure. Yeah.
So That's now true. I really know your whole story. I know the Yankee hat is because you're from New York instead of just
That's
a poser
correct.
Yankee fan.
There's a lot of those. Like, yeah. honestly, I think that a lot of people, like, when they move to the States from other countries, they either, like, legit either go Boston, New York, or L.A. When they
grab a hat.
Baseball caps. Yeah. yeah. It's I don't know. That's the only ones I ever see.
Yeah, whereas I'm a regionalist. I when someone is a Cowboys fan and they're not from Dallas, I'm like, oh, so you just, when you're a kid, they won a lot?
Right.
Like,
yeah,
like
yeah,
you're
yeah,
just
yeah.
you're just a bandwagon fucker.
Yeah.
So shut the fuck yeah. up. And of course, I'm third generation LA's and watched us lose to the Yankees quite a few times as a kid.
Mm. Yeah.
We won a few. Two.
We were, I mean, when we grew up in the, you know,
that
in
was,
the 90s, that was that like was prime like, Yankees winning World yeah. Series like every year.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
even
well,
if we
were,
didn't go to New
wasn't
York.
Wasn't like the salary of the Yankees at one point like equal to like six other teams?
Probably.
Yeah, I mean, that's also what everybody complains about. Like, of course you win because, you know, they
well,
give you
but,
so much money and you get all these players. And,
but still, good for you that you got point. To grow up thinking that world championships were a normal thing.
It really was.
Honestly.
It was like, normal to me, like with the Lakers and Dodgers.
That's true. Yeah.
It was like, yeah well, we're going to win. Right?
I feel like we always ask the question, like, so who are the Yankees going against in the World Series? Like at the beginning of the season, you know? Yeah. So,
but hey, there is a God because you were given the Knicks.
This is true.
Yeah, I was literally going to say that. I was like, but you know, there's the opposite end of the spectrum in basketball.
Yeah, yeah. But you got two good hockey teams generally. I
yeah.
think.
Yeah.
So you guys.
I mean, technically, we have the Nets too, right? They're not good.
They're Brooklyn now.
Yeah.
When we were growing up, it was New Jersey.
Yeah, that was always weird. Mm-hmm. But anyway, we're talking sports, and we're supposed to be talking films.
And talking
That's
sports
true.
After
because
saying that we
I
weren't
totally,
sports guys.
I let Rich's Yankee hat totally send me
Steal
on a
the
tangent.
Spotlight.
But hey, we're Americans. We like our sports, I guess. But anyhow, this podcast is these two gentlemen answering the Discover Indie Film 4 questions, which are: name three favorite films, name an underrated film, name an overrated film, and name a lesser-known film that people should seek out. Before I let these two answer, I will mention that they came in to talk about their work. So if you listen to the podcast before this, you'll get to hear them talk about their film Magic Box that was at Sherman Oaks Film Festival, as well as A Side of Fries that was there back in 2018, and their next project, Lone Wolf, and you talked about your film Jackal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can learn all about them, and there will be things for you to click in the show notes to see their work. But now you're going to get to hear their opinions on films. So whom would like to go first with naming?
I'll go first.
All right. Matt's going to go first.
That's confidence.
So let's
What are we
see.
Doing? Favorite films?
Three favorites.
Three favorites. Now, this is probably...
Can we do like four?
Absolutely.
This is probably going to overlap. But because I'm sure he's going to say some of the same.
Brothers, yeah, you guys, yeah. well, feel free to
because
agree.
He knows I'm going to say that one of the first ones I'm going to say is Seven. Another one is Prisoners. And then a third one is a classic, Back to the Future. I'll just go with those three. I'll just stick to three. I could just go on and on, but yeah.
Someone mentioned Prisoners very recently
well,
to me.
That would be my answer to your other question of, like, what's a movie that people may not have seen that should see is Prisoners. I don't know
Hell
why.
Yeah.
Like, I honestly, I don't know. I can't really figure out why it's not that known because I do remember when it came out. Like, it was...
2013.
It was a big hit. It's a, you know, it's... Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, and it's
Denny Villeneuve's first featured American feature.
Yeah, something like that, and it has a great like it sucks you in, and it's so good, and it's got twists and turns. And like, I think if you were to look it up on any of the streaming services, you'd find it under hidden gems on the Netflix, on your Netflix app. But I couldn't recommend it more highly. We showed it to our cinematographer, Ryan, for the first time, because he'd never heard of it. And it's like, he can't stop
talking about it. His reaction is hilarious. He just like, he didn't give much on his face, and he just goes, "Man, that's probably one of the best films I've ever seen." And I was like, okay, because I couldn't tell what he was going to say.
Yeah. And I think, too, there's like people when they say like greatest films, and everybody's like, well, it's got to be a certain years old. Like, it can't be new. And I'm like, I completely disagree, because this is, I mean, it's one of my top favorites of all time. And I still remember being in the movie theater watching it and just taking it in.
Yeah, multiple viewings is really, it's not mm-hmm. about how old it is, it's how it holds up on multiple viewings, right? Yeah. So if you get those in the first couple of years.
Yeah, and I think it's a tragedy that a lot of people haven't really heard about it. You know, and it's got
crazy.
It's shot by Roger Deakins for any of you cinematography nerds, like, and they were shocked that they were able to get him because it was such an indie budget. It's just, it was like all the elements, like, just kind of, it's like the planets aligned there, and I don't know why none of people know about it.
All right, I'll fucking watch it.
You haven't seen it?
I haven't seen it.
Bro. You should watch it.
Yeah. I know, and
it's so good.
This is the second time in the last few weeks someone has said this about it.
Mm-hmm. So, I think it's popped up on a couple of streaming services, like, recently, and that's probably why more people are mm-hmm. discovering it. But, yeah.
For sure. And I'll add that, obviously, Seven, Fincher, great, and Back to the Future might be a perfect film, and it's certainly a perfect script. Like, I think Back to the Future absolutely deserves the praise you gave it.
Yeah, I think too, some people wouldn't choose it because it's just like everybody knows it, and it's just like, oh, typical. But I'm like, watch it again, like, just keep watching it. Like,
perfect.
That's
filmmaking.
That's why everybody goes back to it.
I've had people kind of shit on Zemeckis, but I always thought Zemeckis, especially in that era of the 80s, early 90s, was the best director at managing to trick a Hollywood studio into letting him do something original mm-hmm. and yet commercial. But like, he was so original in spite of working in a system that was about crushing originality.
Yeah.
And that is one hell of a film.
Yeah. That's perfect.
I would kill to see the Eric Stoltz footage.
They do have it, like, some of it out there.
Can you? Oh, you can see it online?
Yeah.
Oh, so I'm just lazy.
They definitely have
it's not
it
a lot.
To, like, the
I mean, the idea of a different Marty just...
It's, the documentary.
When you watch it, you're like, he's not bad, but it's just not Marty.
It's not what you need.
Yeah.
For sure.
So there you go.
Right? Rich, you want to say your favorites?
I mean, like, two of them were already just said.
Fair enough. Like, my favorite
movie of all time is Seven. I love it. I watch it once a year. AFI, when I was there, they'll bring in films on like 35mm print, and they'll show it, whatever. They showed it to the class under mine, and I snuck in because I had to watch it on 35mm. And I just think it's literally like a perfect film. Like, not just because it's got such a high concept of somebody who is killing people on the seven deadly sins, but that it's two characters, one who wants in and one that wants out, and you see how they are complete opposites, and how they shift later on in the film, and just like the cat and mouse game is just so good. And then Fincher, I mean, that's all I really have to say. Fincher
at his best, right?
At his best,
just unbridled best.
It's just. And it's so raw and I.
No, 3-4 actors just chewing this mm-hmm. the screen off. Yeah.
Yeah, and like just the tone and the setting of like this city that, I mean, it's so smart.
Too,
yeah. Yeah. And like, and I know it, like, it was written out of from like Andrew Kevin Walker when he was stuck in New York City at a shitty job, and he just wanted out and hated his life, and that's what he came up with. And it's like, the best ideas come from like your own personal like anguish and things that go on. Anyway, I could talk about it for hours. And then Prisoners, which we just talked about, which I think is another film that's, if I have any qualm to it, is that it might be a slightly too long. But like the soundtrack is good.
The score.
Yeah, there it is. The score is perfect. The cinematography is perfect. The directing is perfect. The writing is perfect.
The acting is great.
It's just, and it has such a like a bleak tone that I've tried to emulate in like most of my scripts. I don't know why I like bleak shit. It's just
we usually reference Prisoners.
And it's usually Seven.
Well, it sounds like a dark. I mean, obviously those are two dark films.
Mm-hmm.
And then Back to the Future is not dark at all. But so you're going to do two more.
Yeah. The third one, I guess, is Donnie Darko, which is another
slightly dark but just a killer independent
crazy
film.
Movie. Yeah.
Ooh, like, double Gyllenhaal. Look at you.
Double G. I love it. You know, like the whole time travel, like the way they do the time travel in that, it's just so different from a way I've ever seen it. Just like the setting in the '80s and
Frank the Bunny. I think in that film, you're wondering if he's reliable, right?
If his perceptions
are reliable.
Uh-huh. And then like he does like it in essence changes his fate by the end of the movie. And then Frank the Bunny is just such a like iconic
image.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't know. This is another one that I could watch over and over again. And then I wanted to just like put a comedy out there. It's so out there, but Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny.
That's a great
I fucking love that movie. It is definitely a good high movie if you're into cannabis. But it's just like, that's a movie that I could watch over and over. Like, honestly, I could just watch anything Jack Black does over and over again. But like, I liked all this bleak shit like that I just talked about, but like comes to comedies, it's like Tenacious D is like top tier. Or like Step Brothers. I'll watch that any day.
Well, that's like a they just had like a quote from like Christopher Nolan, like one of the things like he'll stop and always watch is Talladega Nights, and you just don't expect that from Christopher Nolan, mm-hmm. right? So
Talladega Nights is hilarious.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you, I went to a screening of the Tenacious D Pick of Destiny.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went in thinking what most people went in thinking, and it is just a well-made film.
Yeah.
And so well-written.
It's so wacky.
I'm kind of bummed that they didn't, like, you know, make more, but...
Right.
I know. I wish it was on... Because I collect Blu-rays. I'm one of the, you know...
Very few.
The very few people
who likes the physical media.
Physical media. So I still collect Blu-rays, and it's not on Blu-ray. So...
Oh.
So I'm sad.
DVD.
Yeah, so I'm stuck with that.
If I had to say a comedy, like if I had to add a fourth one, I probably would say As Good As It Gets.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's like a dramedy.
I was going to say, does it count as comedy? Because actually, I think still, Back to the Future counts as a bit of a comedy.
Yeah, that's true.
But I always find myself gravitating back towards like maybe once a year, like watching As Good As It Gets.
That's another one that's not on Blu-ray.
Yeah, like I was debating on putting it under like underrated films, but I mean, it did win a bunch of Oscars, so I don't
know
if it's really...
Did it win Best Picture? No.
No, but I think it got enough recognition.
Helen Hunt got one for that.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. So did he.
Jack Nicholson.
Who? Oh, he was in that? No,
But like, I don't know if I could consider it an underrated film because it got so many accolades, but...
For sure. Well, here you are segueing for me, but you went first on the first one, so Rich goes first on what's underrated.
Unless
you want to defer, you can always defer.
Let me. Do you have one? Because let me think about it.
Underrated.
Because I could go through.
I could. Okay. I don't know if I would call it. If some would think it's really underrated, but I think because I'm going to say The Prestige as an underrated film because I think. Because Christopher Nolan's all this stuff, like everybody talks about all of his other things a lot more than they talk about that one. And I think that one's probably one of his best ones. That's why I feel like it's a little underrated. And I feel like it's a little underrated more in the context of just like thinking of Christopher Nolan films, not necessarily like film in general. It's the only thing that kind of pops in my mind.
I mean, that's totally valid. So,
literally,
did he buy you enough time, or
I don't know.
Or should he do his overrated?
I definitely
you'll think of it on the way.
I'll definitely think of it on the ride home. I don't know. Underrated. Shit. If I think about it,
if you want to throw it in later.
Yeah.
All right, and you want to take a buy on overrated?
Well, let me hear what he has to say, and then if he says, you better not say the one that I'm thinking, because then it's just
overrated. Well, then you might want to go first.
I think overrated. I honestly think Scarface is overrated.
I can agree with that.
Yeah, I mean,
For sure.
Yeah, like everybody loves it, and I watch it and I go, why does everybody love it? I don't necessarily think it's bad or hate it, but like I can't watch it over and over again. It's overacted. It's just, and some may argue, I'm sure, like, oh, that's the intention. And I'm like, I doubt that was the intention, but they probably leaned into it after, you know, it got such whatever. But I'm just like, people love it, you know, and they emulate that like black and white poster and all that stuff. And I'm like, I think I've seen it like once or twice. And when I say once or twice, like probably once all the way through. And then like the second time, just like bits and pieces. But I don't understand how it's such a, like, people will like fight me, you know, they'll fight me for saying it. Like,
yeah, but also when was the last time they saw it? Right. Because depending on the age of the person, like when it came out, it felt groundbreaking, but I think when you revisit it, it's just
there's just so much more, so many better Al Pacino films out there. And I honestly, like, if I were to say a little bit of an overrated actor, I think Al Pacino is a little bit overrated.
Man, you're going to piss some people off.
I know. And I love Al Pacino and I love all the stuff he does. But like when I watch him, sometimes I just think he just like overdoes things. And, especially like I just watched Heat. I mean, I've seen Heat a bunch of times, but like that diner scene with like him and De Niro, and it's like everybody's like two top quality actors, and I just sit there and I'm like, De Niro blows him out of the water, and he doesn't have to say much. But that's just me rambling. Like, I still think Al Pacino is one of the greatest actors of our time, but I feel he's
fantastic. But like, he definitely,
I feel there like was a shift. So,
I think
like
there was a shift where all of a sudden, credit, you're like, what's going on?
You know, you build up your name and you're like, should I cash in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, it feels like he does some paycheck projects.
Like sure. Jack and Jill.
Yeah. Yeah. Good God.
Well, worse than, but, yeah. Which is not to, I criticize lots of people, but whatever. He, you know, Dog Day Afternoon is like, you know, something that blows my mind what he does in that film.
That's a good one.
Yeah, I feel like there was like that
point. Scent of a Woman?
Yeah, I feel like there's that point in like the 90s. You know, the 90s, all of a sudden he changed to like that big like, hoo-ah, you know, like where he's just like, and he's like, what is that line? And he just like, he's got a great ass. He's just like going nuts. And you're like, what's happening here?
You know, you just gave me a theory, which is that Dana Carvey destroyed his career by... Because Dana Carvey's Pacino is better than Pacino when he does great ass. So it's like, once you've seen Dana Carvey do you enough times, how do you do yourself anymore?
That's right. True. That's fair.
You change it up.
Yeah, I think because, I don't know, I happen to have binged a lot of old Dana Carvey as of late and like just amazed at how funny he is. But yeah, he did when he...
Mm-hmm.
When an amazing mimic mimics you, mm-hmm. you're kind of fucked.
All yeah. Right.
Did we buy enough time for an under or over?
Okay, so like for underrated, I think there's definitely like a better one, but this one just came to me. Dread. Have you seen Dread?
Mm-hmm.
With Carl Urban.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it.
It's fucking great.
Not Judge Dredd with Sylvester Stallone.
Yeah, no, no. This is like
Dredd.
Yeah.
No, it's
no, it's Dredd.
Oh, yeah. Dredd.
Okay. It's technically Judge Dredd, but like the, you know, they made it in 2011. They did it the right way.
I think Carl Urban is the greatest.
Oh yeah,
so good.
This movie kicks so much ass. It's literally like, you know, they get locked in this this tall building, and they have to work their way up to the to like the top, almost like a video game. And it's just done so fucking well. And I just feel like a lot of people haven't seen it. I don't know why. Have you seen it?
No.
There you go. You saw it, though.
I did. It took me a while to see that.
Yeah, but a lot of people haven't seen it. It is, they do say, like, it may be a ripoff of The Raid, which is a... Is it Korean? I don't want to be ignorant, but I think it's
there's a lot of great movies that are Asian Korean cinema. Ripoffs. Yeah.
But The Raid and The Raid 2 are fucking amazing. So this might put me on like a tangent on like Korean cinema, which I think is so like not underrated. I just think there's not enough exposure, and Americans don't have enough exposure to like Korean cinema, like films like Old Boy.
It's a generational thing too, I feel like, because like people. I don't know if you guys are under 30, but like people under 30 or under 25, like, will talk to me, and they're just more into Korean cinema than anywhere else. And like, you know, when I was that age, if, you know, it was French or Italian, you know,
I just think like
British,
you know, Korean cinema, Japanese cinema, like we took a national cinema class in undergrad that we were exposed to all these films. And I'm like, these films are fucking amazing. Like, Old Boy is probably one of, like, my favorites. Not the stupid Spike Lee remake.
The Raid is Indonesian.
Okay, so that I sound ignorant. At least that's what he said. But, like, yeah, you should watch The Raid, The Raid 2, Old Boy, Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, and Lady Vengeance.
Yeah.
Memoirs of Murder. Like, I think...
Seven Samurai.
That's a long one.
That's long, yeah.
But yeah, so my underrated answer is Dredd
and Japanese, Korean, Indonesian cinema. I just
think it's just top tier.
Yeah.
Overrated. I said I wasn't gonna say it, but I'm gonna say it. I think Vertigo is overrated.
Hitchcock's Vertigo.
It is number one on the AFI Top 100 list, and I have no idea why, because Rear Window is a far superior film to Vertigo. Vertigo is two films shoved together, and, like, just is... so long and meanders so much that I'm not seeing it. I don't get it. I don't understand why it is so beloved. It's just Jimmy Stewart being like, Mitch, we got Vertigo.
Oh, Madeline.
I'm gonna try not to like pander to it, but
a great Hitchcock film though. Rope.
Yeah. Rope. Like, out of all, like, the Hitchcock films, like, Vertigo, like, just, I don't...
I've tried, actually, in undergrad a million years ago, I took a Hitchcock class. Like, they actually had a class, I think it might have only been offered at summer, but it was just basically 10 weeks of Hitchcock. And I know I get people disagree with me, but I kind of feel like you should only watch the black and white stuff. I feel like once color came along, he got less interesting.
That's fair.
But North by Northwest is pretty amazing. But yeah, still, when he was younger and hungrier, it's and like
prime
Hitchcock. In his prime, I think it was black and white. Mm-hmm. And then by the time, if it's in color and it's Hitchcock, he was already, you know, living a Hollywood lifestyle and you know,
that could be.
To his credit, you know, he earned it.
I've never seen The Birds.
The Birds?
Yeah, I've never seen
it. I haven't either. But
importantly, have you seen Mel Brooks's High Anxiety?
No, because that's like, yeah, I've seen only parts.
That's his. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. I'll have to watch that. And what's like Mel Brooks' The Silent Movie, where the only person that actually accidentally speaks was a silent actor. It's okay.
Mel Brooks is generally amazing.
Oh, but, yeah, 1,000%.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure.
Add one more of my favorite movies?
No.
Sure.
No, we're
just going to add it. Because I came across it and we were talking about kind of like older movies. It's not that old. It's the 70s. It's Chinatown.
Yeah.
Sure.
I think Chinatown is like the perfect noir.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of people compare it to Pick of Destiny. Nah, kid.
Chinatown.
That's another one of those. Yeah, like people refer to like if I'm sure screenwriting professors mm-hmm. were like, read Chinatown.
Yeah.
Get the script.
Mm-hmm. It's so good. I think it benefits so much from its time. You know, like there are no cell phones. Like the way that he has to figure out what time the guy he's following leaves, he's got to put a stop like a wristwatch under his tire so it breaks and tells him what time that it stopped. You know, things like that. It's just so fucking clever.
Agree.
Yeah.
No, amazing. And yeah, whatever. Great film.
Yeah.
Superb. God, I haven't seen that for 30 years.
Well, first you got to watch Prisoners.
First I got to watch Prisoners.
Then you can go watch.
First I got to watch the last like 300 submissions to Sherman Oaks. But
well, there's that. Yeah.
I know. I don't get to watch for fun much. But there's one question left, which is a lesser known film that people should seek out, which you kind of already covered. But kind if you want to name one. Yeah.
Lesser known film. I think we covered a lot of them, right? Because we were like,
you did. I mean,
there's one film that I really like that I don't think did very well, and I don't think actually is considered that good. But What Dreams May Come with Robin Williams.
That's I like it.
I really dig it. But it's a tough one. It's you know, it deals with death and suicide and all that stuff. But Robin Williams doing dramas and stuff like that.
Insomnia.
Yeah.
That's a good one. That's Nolan, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
people forget about that. Well, there's that.
Yeah, too. The original Swedish? Norwegian?
I don't remember.
Danish?
I haven't seen that one, but...
Oh.
But yeah, the Nolan one, people forget he did that one. That one's just like a straight, simple.
But yeah, this one's I really like it, but I can see I think if people watch it, they're either going to really like it or really not like it.
Yeah, and it's very,
it's got a
ethereal
very,
and visual. And
yeah, very dark.
I haven't seen that since tone. Theaters, I think, but I'd be curious to see it now.
It was one that I saw for the first time and hated, and then watched later on, and, you know, after just, I don't know, maturing or learning more about film and all that stuff, I was like, wow, this is, like, really good. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's always things I'm like, oh, if they just did this, I think it would have been a lot better, but...
We do that less nowadays, right? If you don't like something the first time because there's so much content that for us to absorb now.
Yeah.
It used to be I saw lots of films a second or third time because, you know, you'd see it in the theater and then you'd see it on the video shelf and you'd be like, well, fine, I'll take it home and watch it again or it'd be on HBO or cable. And yeah, now if I don't like it the first time, I rarely give it another shot.
That's true.
Yeah.
There's a lot of films that you love way more the second time.
That's true. Yeah.
In fact, yeah, the only time I see them again is we like to go on cruises around Christmas time and just to get away from it all. And when you're trapped in a little cabin at night, and you want to go to sleep, like we'll just end up watching a film. I'm like, well, might as well watch that again.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, that was actually great.
Yeah.
That's actually how I came to appreciate La La Land.
Yeah, I love that the first time. Honestly, I can watch that over and over again. I mean, people either love it or they hate it. That's another
But way. Every time I see it,
yeah.
I love it more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, like, it kind of puts me in a, like, not necessarily, like, kind of nostalgic mood, or just, like, you know.
Get you rared out, like, revved up to go.
Yeah, it's like I moved out to L.A. for, you know, the classic, like, the Hollywood dream. And, like, that's, like, a synopsis of the Hollywood dream with, you know, just music and, like, all these things. And, like, they're going all these different parts of town. And it just gives you so many memories of, like, when you're over in those parts mm-hmm. of town. That, like, I think it's a shame for those who don't like it or criticize it for being, like, well, they're not professional dancers. They can't really dance that much. And, like, this is not
the point.
That's not the point.
It's not the point.
Yeah.
I think there's something to be said about, like, you know, you should always take your first viewing with a grain of salt. Because I think, like, you're digesting, and then once it's, like, unless... There are, like, certain movies, for instance, like Prisoners, I got out and I was like, that was amazing, and I just like it more. But then there are other movies, like you said, like La La Land for you. It's, you get out of it and you're like, I don't know. You gotta watch it again. I think it's just like, for instance, I went and saw Oppenheimer. It was just so much to digest. I got out of it. I was like, that was really good, but did I love it? I don't know yet. Mm. And I feel like if I watch it again, knowing some things and like for a second viewing I might, although who has 3 hours of their time to watch it again?
It's also like who you saw it with, where you saw it, like that helps too,
and your expectations, right? Like if you see something before the hype, you often like it's best to have no expectations.
And that's like
I think by the time I saw La La Land the first time, it had already been nominated for Best Picture.
Got it.
So you know,
your standards go to a certain level.
You look at it differently.
I also think that's a problem with like the trailer industry, is that I've seen the whole fucking movie. Why do I, you know, the trailer showed me the entire thing. I don't need to go see it. And then it's like when you go see these movies, the trailer showed you the good parts. So the movie's not as good in your mind because you've already seen it. Yeah. You know?
Just go off on a tangent, like speaking of like remembering, you know, you remember coming out of Prisoners, like I will always and never forget remembering watching Jigsaw stand up.
Oh yeah,
when you're watching Saw for the first time,
chills.
It's like if somebody ever asked me, it's like, do you remember like one movie experience like being in the theater? I'm like, I can tell you exactly what it is. It's just like him standing up with that music, and you're just like, fuck,
yeah.
Also, like, plug James Wan, fantastic. I was gonna
say James Wan,
like,
is
if I had to go down
now, his writer is fucking great too.
Yeah, if I had to go through like top list further, or like a top list of horror, it's all James Wan stuff, like Hell Insidious, yeah. The Conjuring, like
he knows how to scare the shit out of you. Yeah, even like
Dead Silence is not a great movie, but it scares the shit out of you.
Yeah.
Now I always joke. I'll watch anything with his name on it.
Yeah.
But it annoys me that Patrick Wilson's in both Conjuring and Insidious because then I go back and confused. It makes me confuse scenes.
Yeah.
Right. Is he married in that one? Is he with her?
You just need to cleanse yourself with like what, Fast 7? Is that the one that he did too?
And Aquaman. Oh, did he do Fast 7?
Yeah.
Oh, he did. I didn't see Aquaman. Yeah. But good for him. I'm sure that. Well, no, he makes buku bucks off these franchises.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's created the Conjuring universe.
That he did was Malignant.
Yeah.
That was terrible.
Yeah. I haven't seen Malignant.
It's wacky, and I feel like that's the point, and either people are going to love it or hate it, but I did not like it. I hate it. Yeah.
And but like, James Wan is top tier.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and I assume you both appreciate horror because...
Oh, 1,000%.
Love horror. Yeah. Horror.
Yeah. Even though it didn't creep onto your top... 5 or 6.
No, that's the problem. Is I keep thinking of all these movies. I'm like, oh shit! Like, you know, Saw, fucking Insidious, Scott Pilgrim,
Pilgrim,
like
all the time. Edgar Wright.
But it's like, you almost wish, like, you could just go, okay, my favorite comedy,
right? Here's my horror. Top five.
But then
from
who has like? It's tough.
Yeah. At the point, you start have to go like, all right, what's your favorite from this filmmaker?
So well.
Yeah, we can just keep naming so many films. So.
I know.
Like, and now here you are, like, understanding why festival juries, why, like, award stuff is so annoying, because it's so hard to acknowledge horror and comedy, because our brain just goes towards the dramas. Seven is horror-esque, for sure. But it's a drama. It's a respectable drama. But that's why it's important to me that the festivals separate those awards by genre, because... it's just not fair to have a cancer chemotherapy film go up against a silly right. fart joke or a film with a butt plug. You know
yeah. what I mean? Yeah. Right.
Like,
exactly.
It's just like, come on, it's not right.
Yeah.
They're
yeah.
all artistically valid.
It's true.
Sometimes yeah. you're at an orgy and people die.
That's yeah. some,
and that's just that as good a film as a cancer patient.
Exactly. Yeah. 1,000%.
All right. Well, hey, I guess we might as well wrap it up. We're just chatting. All yeah. right, so clickable show notes. There will be clickable links in the show notes
yeah.
for everything that Matt and Rich Van Tine are involved in. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thanks again. Yeah,
thank you for having us.
I hope you had fun. I will name this is the Discovery Indie Film Podcast. I might have forgotten to say this, but please like and subscribe. Maybe even write a review. Be kind. I joke. You're like number 407, yes. maybe 408, but everyone does twos. But so like 200 filmmakers have been on here. And I think there's like 15 reviews on iTunes.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. But anyway. And I joke about that, and still no one reviews. I don't care if we get reviews. But anyway, if you want to learn about this podcast or the TV series that is born from it, just go to discoverindiefilm.com, or it's at DIFWINS on social media. Rich and Matt's films, I was going to say, and then I wanted to change the sentence to Rich and Matt have had two films so far at the Sherman Oaks Film Festival and Film Invasion Los Angeles. And you can learn about those festivals if you go to ShermanOaksFF.com, and it's at ShermanOaksFF on social media. If you can't figure out that was for Sherman Oaks Film Festival, it's okay. We don't need your attention. And Film Invasion Los Angeles is every June. You can learn about that at FilmInvasionLA.com, and it's at FilmInvasionLA on social media. And as long as I'm talking to you, go to WatchTVHigh.com. Check it out.
Get high.
Watch. If you can, do drugs responsibly. And I do urge people to be responsible. I have friends in recovery. I happen to have been able to try pretty much every drug on earth and not be addicted. But I just, whatever. I shouldn't. You're a special breed. Do I have to delete that?
Maybe. I don't know.
That's up to you. That is up to me. I'm very lucky. I got blessed with body chemistry that, you know, I did coke, I enjoyed it, and I never did it again.
Yeah. Good for you.
Yeah, that's not something that someone raising a kid just said. Anyway.
Yeah, try Coke Zero.
Yeah. I am talking about Coca-Cola. Yeah, exactly. I don't drink any sodas.
No?
Yeah. No, it's unhealthy. Just that's, water.
So it's Coke.
It is good. Yeah. Especially if you need a little perk. Little perk from your Coke. All right. WatchTVHigh.com. Just go check it out. All right, sirs, thank you so much.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
And thank
you. Appreciate it.
Everyone for listening.